Hello, I'm Lina Ahmadu. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we take a close look at breast cancer. Get this, over 2 million women were diagnosed with breast cancer in 2020, according to the World Health Organization. Breast cancer is a disease in which abnormal breast cells grow out of control and form tumors. If left unchecked, the tumors can spread throughout the body and become fatal. Medical experts say age, obesity, tobacco use, and family history of breast cancer are some of the factors that can increase the chances of developing breast cancer. Over 60% of people who lose their lives to the disease live in developing countries, where most cases are diagnosed in late stages. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month globally. In Ghana, thousands of people marched the streets of the capital Accra recently to raise awareness of breast cancer. Event organizers aimed to dispel myths about breast cancer in Africa and encourage early detection for a cure. Sinanu Tord reports from Accra.
Thousands of people from corporate Ghana, student bodies and international agencies, as well as breast cancer survivors themselves, gathered in Accra on October 7th to take part in a breast cancer awareness march themed Walk for the Cure. According to event organizer Breast Care International, more than 4,650 women in Ghana are diagnosed with breast cancer every year, and about half lose their lives to the disease. Dr. Beatrice Biafe Ada is the president and founder of the organization, and she says many patients first seek help from their religious organizations.
A lot of our patients report late to the hospital, so late that very little can be done for them. And so it became very important for us to create the needed awareness, to let people understand that breast cancer is not caused by witchcraft. It's not a spiritual disease. That it's a hospital disease, and it can be survived.
Stigmatization also hinders victims of breast cancer in Ghana from seeking early treatment, says survivor Benita Ogbona. She lost her mother to breast cancer in 2001 and was later diagnosed with the disease in 2018. She says she had to survive the cancer mostly by herself and a few friends for the fear of stigmatization.
Even some of my family members, I didn't tell them. Reason was that I didn't want anybody to give me a negative energy, because there's so many things people say about cancer or someone having it. Some people can start keeping a distance with you. That's where the stigma comes in. Some people will start telling you it's spiritual, just like they told us when my mother died. They said three people killed her. It was spiritual.
20-year breast cancer survivor Vivian Jesisafo says by marching the streets of Accra, she and others like her hope to unveil the myths associated with breast cancer and normalize women seeking of treatment.
I'm very happy to be part of the work to show myself to women who are coming for the work and women all over that breast cancer is not a death sentence. Once you are diagnosed of breast cancer, just allow yourself for early meaningful treatment.
Yet, another challenge to combating breast cancer in sub-Saharan Africa is the lack of sufficient treatment facilities, Breast Care International says.
We have to think of having a comprehensive cancer center of excellence where we will handle prevention, screening, diagnostics, training, treatment, palliative care, rehabilitation, and survivorship, and research.
The World Health Organization says 5-year breast cancer survival rates in sub-Saharan Africa stand at a dismal 40% compared with over 90% in most high-income countries. Breast Care International hopes to change that. Sinanu Tord, VOA News, Accra, Ghana.
Breast cancer is a disease until it becomes a part of someone's story. Few years ago, Aisha Ramadani faced the gruesome diagnosis of breast cancer. She is now cancer-free after a challenging journey through cancer treatment. She decided to share her story in a compelling book titled Beyond the Diagnosis. Aisha joins us via phone from Washington, D.C. Aisha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You were diagnosed at the age of 40 with breast cancer. Unexpectedly, you went for a routine checkup. Can you take us back to that moment?
Absolutely. So it was January of 2014. I went in for my screening mammogram. From that point on, it was read by the radiologist. And once she looked at the study, she saw an area that was suspicious. And she said to me, I have two options. I can either do a six-month follow-up just to kind of monitor the area, or I can have a biopsy just to kind of rest assured that either everything is okay or if there is something, I can take care of it early. And I decided the best thing for me to do was to have a biopsy right away just so I can know what's happening. Went with the procedure, and of course, it came back as being positive for cancer.
Wow. So when you heard that diagnosis, what does it feel to hear these words that so many women are afraid of hearing when you go through something like that?
It was very scary, very overwhelming, and just, even though I work in the field, but you never expect to hear that for yourself. I performed breast imaging studies for many years. I saw so many cases in younger and younger women. So for me, when I heard it for myself, I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. This really and truly can happen to anyone. No one is exempt from this. It can happen to anyone, no matter your socioeconomic, no matter where you are in life, no matter your education. Anyone is fair game, as they say. So it was very, very scary for me.
So what was your next step after the biopsy came back positive?
Once I received the results of the biopsy, I met with surgeons and just different treatment team, from surgeons to oncologists to just everyone. And one of the surgeons recommended that she gave me several options. They have an option where it's called a lumpectomy, where they just remove the area that's affected on the side that is affected, and they leave everything else. But going in, the minute I was given the diagnosis, I knew for me the best thing to do was to just have a total bilateral mastectomy, which is the removal of both breasts.
And why did you decide that?
My children were very young at the time. And then I also did not want to go through the anxiety of every year that I would have to return for a mammogram. I will be thinking, is it here today? Am I going to have it? Has it gone someplace else? So I didn't want to have to go through that anxiety. So for me, that's why I felt that was the best decision. And if I didn't do that, I would have undergone so much other treatment, chemo, radiation, and my kids were young. So I did not want to put them through that.
So when you, after you remove both breasts, I guess my, one of the questions I had actually before we even go to that is, did you have any indications of sickness before your mammogram?
I absolutely did not have any indication. Every case is different, and so many of us could have it and we wouldn't even know it because you don't necessarily always feel something. Some people, they will feel a lump, or they would have discharge, whether it's bleeding from the breast or from the nipple or something of that sort. And then other people will just have what is called calcium deposits. Calcium deposit will form in your breast, and I think calcium deposit can form anywhere in the body, but they form in the breast and they take shape of cancer. Not all calcium deposits in your breast are bad, but there are some that could be questionable. So that's when they test those calcium deposits by doing a biopsy. And then from the biopsy is what indicates whether it is cancer or not. So I had a very small amount of calcium deposit in one of my breasts. So I was not able to feel anything. There was no lump. There was no pain. There was no discharge. Nothing was going on. Just calcium deposit had formed.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, you just shared something important, because the usual signs that they say to look for is a lump and everything else. Now you're talking about calcium deposit and not no other indication. So
no other indication.
So now you decided to write your experience in a book called Beyond the Diagnosis. That's the title of the book. Why did you want to share that experience through some words,
that beyond the diagnosis, finding strength and faith amidst breast cancer? So I really wanted people to know and realize that with faith, you're really able to kind of overcome any hurdles in life, no matter what your journey is. You just have to believe and have faith that everything will be okay, and you are able to find that courage and to find that strength to really and truly fight and just come out on top, no matter what the circumstances are. And that was the reason why I decided to put words into writing a book for that purpose.
When you look at your experience, what are some of the lessons learned? You talk about finding faith, and what other lessons have you learned? For example, you are originally from Africa. When you look at the landscape here, the kind of access you were able to have, and you think back home to the sisters that are on the continent, what can you say in terms of the lessons learned, or maybe a message?
Well, I'm very thankful to be here, and I am from Tanzania, and healthcare is slightly different from there and here, but I would just encourage women in Tanzania, or any part of Africa, or anywhere for that matter, if there is access to maybe having monthly exams, or if there is access to any type of medical care, whether it be a free clinic, whether it be at the main hospital, to go get evaluated by a physician, they should absolutely take that opportunity and do it. And they should also be aware of their own bodies. When you're in the shower, check your breast. And again, like we say, it's not always lumps, but at least also just check for those and know your body. So when you see something different, pay attention to those signs and follow up based on what those signs are that you see, because you just never know. And if it's caught early, they are treatments to be able to take care of it when you're able to find something early.
You say about your book that you aim to share your vulnerabilities and victories with breast cancer. You did share some of them. What is the takeaway from this book? If a woman is to read it, what would you hope she takes away from it?
I will hope for them to know that first, they're not alone, and that they should know. And for me, I felt, never question why has this happened to me. Just know that it happens to other people, and why not for it to happen to you? If it happened to you, is because for a reason, and just to try and figure out what that reason is. I felt like for me, that reason was to be able to reach out to other people, to help other people, to spread the word, to offer encouragement and empowerment to people that beyond that diagnosis, there is empowerment, there is power in whatever that diagnosis you were giving.
The message is loud and clear. Aisha Ramadani, thank you so much. We appreciate your time, and we wish you all the best with your book, your health, and everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and have a good day.
That was breast cancer survivor and advocate Aisha Ramadani. You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. When we return, we'll have more on breast cancer prevention and treatment with an expert. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This week on Straight Talk Africa, as Israeli airstrikes and heavy artillery fire pound Gaza, many Palestinians are trying to flee to Egypt with no guarantees they'll be allowed into the country. Meanwhile, hundreds of tons of humanitarian aid is sitting on trucks awaiting clearance at the border. Join me, Haley Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa as we discuss the Israel-Hamas war and the role of Egypt in this evolving conflict. This Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
More peace, new experience, and some adventure. That is the desires of many women. But what does this journey require? On this week's episode of Our Voices, we discuss what makes a woman want to leave her comfort zone for new adventurous experiences and how that journey may help her to be the best version of herself. Join the conversation on Wednesdays at 1900 UTC on the Voice of America.
Welcome back to Health Chat. If you are just joining us on the show today, we are looking at breast cancer. Breast cancer is a diagnosis that many women fear, as women have the greatest risk of developing cancer in the breasts. However, WHO reveals that up to 1% of breast cancers occur in men. For more insight on the incidence of breast cancer and how it is being addressed, I spoke with Dr. Nuru Saleh. She is an oncologist at the Aga Khan Hospital in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Take a listen.
Dr. Nuru Saleh, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. First and foremost, as an oncologist, let me have your thoughts on what this month represents for providers such as yourself.
So I think most we would like to educate patients on cancer. I know it mostly is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but cancer as a whole, there are a lot of misconceptions in the community, in the society about cancer. And I think us as medical professionals, when we educate patients and we educate them on like things like early detection, like screening, that helps in catching these cancers in an early stage before they develop into advanced diseases, which means that we can easily treat them, as opposed to if a patient comes in with the disease is everywhere and it's difficult to control it.
Now, breast cancer is number one cancer among women globally. What are the telltale signs that a woman may be having breast cancer? What are some of the symptoms?
So there are a lot of symptoms. Some of them may be pointing towards breast cancer, including finding a lump in your breast that could be an indication of breast cancer, especially if the mass is immobile, that is, it's not moving, or it's attached to the skin, maybe the skin of the breast or the chest wall. Patients may also present with axillary lymphadenopathy, which means lymph node enlargements in the axilla or in the armpit. Another symptom could be skin changes on the breast itself. So there may be like reddening of the skin or what we call skin dimpling, which is when the skin resembles the peel of an orange or what we call poudre orange. So that's another symptom. Another one could be nipple retraction or nipple discharge. So you can have a bloody discharge from the nipple or pus from the nipple. These could be one of the symptoms. Also, if a patient has like metastatic disease or advanced disease, which means because cancer cells tend to move from one area to another. So if this cancer has moved, for instance, from the breast region to the bones, a patient may present with bone pain. Also, if a patient has maybe lung metastasis from the breast to the lungs, patients may present with shortness of breath or difficulty in breathing. So this could be some of the symptoms of patients that present to us.
What type of breast cancer is most common among African women? And is there a reason why?
So in terms of types, we can speak about pathology of the disease itself, or where we have invasive cancers or invasive types that are invasive ductal carcinoma or invasive lobular carcinoma. This means that the cancer cells have, if it's invasive ductal, that means it has arisen from the duct, the milk duct, and it has gone into the breast tissue. If it's lobular, that means it has started in the lobules in the breast and has gone to the breast tissue. These are the commonest. We also have carcinoma, what we call carcinoma in situ, which means that these are like precancerous cells that have not spread into the breast tissue. And the commonest is the invasive one. But also, in terms of maybe molecular expression of patients or gene expression, patients tend to have different types of breast cancer. We have those patients that we call hormone receptor positive. So these patients are either, maybe they can be ER, PR positive. What this means is that their cancer cells tend to grow from signals that they received from estrogen and progesterone, which are the normal hormones in our bodies. Just presence of these hormones make the cells of the breast tissue to grow. Some patients are also HER2 positive. This is another type. And so in HER2 positive, these are usually very rapidly aggressive types of breast cancer. Another type is triple negative, which is they do not respond to hormones. So amongst these three, the one that has the poorest prognosis is triple negative. And this is mostly because in the other types, you can have targeted, what we call targeted therapy or hormonal therapy that has been seen to improve survival in patients who are either hormone receptor positive or HER2 positive. And since triple negatives do not have any of these positivity, it makes it difficult to control the disease, and their diseases are quite aggressive.
So is it accurate to say that triple negative breast cancer is common in among African women? I read that somewhere. What is the case on the ground?
So I would say we are seeing patients who have ERP positive, like hormone receptor positive, as well as triple negatives. Honestly, I've seen more ERPR positive than triple negatives, but we also see a lot of triple negatives, to be honest.
So talk to us about breast cancer treatment. There are different types of breast cancer, so I assume the treatment will be different from one cancer to another. What is the general approach in treating breast cancer?
So the general approach would include three areas that a patient can have: surgery, chemotherapy, and radiotherapy. These are the main treatments that are available in treating breast cancer. So patients, if it depends on the stage of the disease, if they're caught early and the mass is very small, then the patient may start with surgery, followed by chemotherapy. So when I say surgery, it can be either breast-conserving surgery, which is just the lump is removed along with an area of the breast tissue, but the breast is left intact. Some patients may have a mastectomy, which means they remove the whole breast. Also, following surgery, some patients may undergo chemotherapy, which is the use of chemotherapy agents through an IV or oral in order to treat the cancer cells, followed by radiotherapy. There are some patients that don't start with surgery right away, especially those patients that have what we call locally advanced disease. That means their disease was not detected earlier. So these patients usually undergo chemotherapy initially, which the chemotherapy, what it does is it reduces or it shrinks the tumor, so that when patients undergo surgery, it is easier for them to remove the tumor cells better and to reduce chances of leaving cancer cells in the breast when they remove, followed by radiotherapy. I mentioned about hormone receptor positive patients and HER2 positive patients. So these patients have an advantage of more treatments. So for patients who have hormone receptor positive, following treatment, they can receive oral hormone therapy for 5 to 10 years. And those that have HER2 positive, they also have a targeted therapy and medication that they receive during their chemotherapy. So for patients that have triple negative, studies now have shown that they may also benefit from adjuvant chemotherapy following radiotherapy with the use of tablets that we call capecitabine for 6 months. Also has been shown to reduce the rate of recurrence. But these are the main things: so surgery, chemotherapy, radiotherapy.
How readily available are these solutions for women where you work? We've seen places where They don't even have a radiotherapy machine. What are some of the challenges around access to treatment?
So challenges can be even the detection of these markers that I'm talking about, the ER positive, the PR. Some places do not even have access to these markers, and these are very crucial in the treatment, because imagine if a patient has, for instance, HER2 positive and you're not giving the targeted therapy, you have not completed treatment, or you have not done the best you can to give this patient the best opportunity for a cure, as opposed to if you have these facilities to measure. Also, the radiotherapy, yes, the availability of radiotherapy services are lacking. For instance, in Dar es Salaam, we have two centers that are giving radiotherapy at Ocean Road Cancer Institute, and there is VESTA. For the place where I work, which is Aga Khan Hospital, we're planning to open our new center for radiotherapy early next year, which will be providing treatment for these patients, for patients with breast cancer and other malignancies that need radiotherapy treatment. But for chemotherapy, is more available as compared to radiotherapy.
It's recommended at age 40 to start mammogram, although this has changed. In the United States, we've seen, you know, a few changes, 50, 45, 40. Now, we see that there are women under the age of 40 who have developed breast cancer. First of all, what is the age you will recommend women to have to start getting breast cancer diagnosis in terms of mammography, for example? And how common is breast cancer among young women? Has it changed over the years?
So, the standard is to start mammogram at 40 years. However, we have seen cases with young patients less than 40 coming in with breast cancers. And these usually, they comprise 5 to 7% of patients with breast cancer are less than 40 years. And so it's a small amount, but still we have these patients. And mostly we have seen that these patients usually have a family history of breast cancer. So I think, for example, patients that have mothers that have passed or that have had breast cancer, they are more likely to develop breast cancer, especially those patients that have BRCA gene positivity. However, these genetic testing are not very available locally in our country, but this would really help the young population to be diagnosed early, because so with young patients, their cancers tend to be even more aggressive than in elderly patients. So screening as for mammogram, yes, 40 years, but at age 25, if you have family history of cancer, ideally you should start screening. Or if you have a relative or a mom maybe that she died or she has breast cancer, ideally you need to start screening 10 years before the diagnosis they were diagnosed. So if they were diagnosed at 40 years, at 30 years you need to start screening. So 10 years before the diagnosis.
Okay. Now, what do you say to women who are maybe afraid to get screened? Some women are just concerned and they rather ignore it instead of getting early diagnosis, going for early diagnosis. What is your message to these women?
So I can understand why some people fear. So cancer diagnosis is a big diagnosis and it comes with emotional issues, but for me, I would say early detection saves lives. If you're diagnosed early, it is more likely that your treatment will make you cured, as opposed to being diagnosed with an advanced disease, which may cause us to not be able to control the cancer with the treatment that we're going to give.
That was Dr. Nuru Saleh, oncologist at the Aga Khan Hospital in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. That's all for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guests, author and advocate Aisha Ramadani and oncologist Dr. Nuru Saleh. For more health news and medical breakthroughs, visit voaafrica.com. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou in Washington, with producer Nicole Peters. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.